Time magazine a while back had a feature article saying Angels Among Us, and it stated a statistic that 69% of Americans polled said that they believed in angels. 69%, that's a pretty healthy number. Then in Ladies Home Journal, there was another article about guardian angels, giving stories about people who they believed were miraculously delivered from all kinds of difficulties. People who sincerely believed it was angels who made the difference in their help in a dangerous situation. I know in my first church, I'll never forget the day the lady stood up during testimony time and she said, you may not believe this, but I just want you to know this happened to me. I live alone and I have an apartment and I have a step. I just step out, little step on the back with a wooden board, and I usually throw my mop over the edge of the banister to let it dry out. Well, I went to pick up my mop and I tripped and I hit the banister. The banister broke and I started going over with the mop down as two stories to hit the ground. And as I was going like this, I felt the pressure on my hand and an angel pushed me back up on the ledge and said, it happened. So I would have never believed it would have happened, but I believe an angel grabbed hold of me and saved my life. And just as I started saying, started to go down, I said, oh Lord help. And I felt that pressure on my chest. Now I've seen in my life several times when I've encountered spiritual anomalies, I guess you could say, that I attributed to angels. And then it got more specific. I've seen angels. People look at me like I'm crazy, but at my last church, I was, I think it was at the back of the church with Wade, and we were having a service. I don't remember what the service was about or anything. I remember turning around and looking out, and you could look out the back, and we had the back window was on the second story. It was out overlooking the deck, and I saw the shadow with wings going across the front of the church, and I couldn't believe it. It, you know, shocked me. Now, I shouldn't be shocked, should I? When I see an angel, I'm a pastor. I mean, that's, I expect, I believe these things. When they happen to you, you just got to believe them. Well, lo and behold, I found out that our maintenance guy was out there with a ladder. And he was walking across with a ladder in his arms. And just the way his shadow hit on that window outside the window, I couldn't see him. He looked like an angel with wings. He was an angel with wings. So sometimes when we see angels with wings, they're not really there. Sometimes when we see them, they really are there. I was praying with a friend of mine, and we were really getting into praying, and it was going really strong. And I felt a presence all around me. So much so that I stopped and opened my eyes, and I didn't see anything. And I closed my eyes again, and then Randy said, do you feel something? He had his eyes closed when I did it. He says, do you sense that somebody else is here with us? About that time, I felt a hand on my shoulder. I didn't look, but I knew it was an angel. He was joining us in our prayer, my prayers, in our prayers. We were believing together. Yes, I believe in angels, and I believe there's angels in this room right now. As a matter of fact, some of you might be sitting close to an angel unaware of it. That's the way the scripture describes it. Angel actually means messenger. And anyone who God uses to get the message across to you of his saving love is going to be an angel to you. But some of them are spiritual and some of them are human. And you may not always know the difference. So, angels are real. And the Bible is not bashful or apologetic in the Old or New Testaments in regarding angels. It speaks as angels as if, obviously, they're there. It's a reality. So Christmas is the time of year that we sometimes think about angels more than any other time, because angels completely surround the Christmas story. The Greek word angelos, which literally means messenger, and the in Judah, the Hebrew word is moyach, which means messenger. Both are interpreted in Hebrew in the Bible as angels. And so when you read them in the Bible, you can translate the original text. If you get an English translation, it may say messenger, and in some Bible it may say angel. And then the Hebrew makes it very clear that angels are subordinate to God, and they're at his right and left-hand sides ministering to him and worshiping him 24/7. In the Persian culture, the word angel is called courier, similar to messenger, and it's someone who brings you the message, okay? Now turn to Matthew, the first chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. I'll read it from the New American Standard, and we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus. It says, now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. And when he had thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Jesus, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Now an angel, a supernatural being, a messenger from God, takes this message to Joseph. He shows up to Joseph while Joseph is contemplating what he should do about Mary. He's sitting there contemplating what he should do about Mary, and suddenly he has a vision, a dream. I believe he was wide awake because he was sitting there contemplating what he's going to be doing about Mary. And while he's wide awake, this angel thought came over, and when the thought had, he thought this over, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. That was the connection of time here. What do I do? What do I do? I'm engaged to this girl that I love. I've never touched her. But people aren't going to believe that because she's pregnant. I don't want to embarrass her for the situation. What am I going to do, Lord, Father in heaven? What am I going to do? Now, he said Adonai because they weren't at the point of calling God Father at this point. Jesus is one to introduce God as Father. Adonai, Lord, Yahweh, what do I do? I'm in a situation. I want to be faithful to you, but I don't want to dishonor this girl. While he's praying that kind of a prayer, an angel appeared to him. Now, was he daydreaming or was he asleep and dreaming? I don't know. But I have a feeling since he was thinking on these things, it was probably a daydream. And an angel appeared to him in dreamlike fashion. In other words, there may be other people around, but he's the only one that sees this angel. And this angel says to him, Joseph, son of David, calls him by name. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. That's what he was contemplating. For the child that is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She's not been with a man, Joseph. This child is of the Holy Spirit. It's a divine child. Take her to be your wife. So Joseph wakes up from the dream, or he shakes his head, realizes what's taken place, and then he goes and does what the angel tells him to do. So I think this is a way of looking at a supernatural being with a purpose. The angel appeared to Joseph because he had a purpose. He was a being sending a message. He wanted the message to come to Joseph in such a way that Joseph would know it was coming from the Father. Not too many people can send angels, or even fake angels. They either have to be or not to be. So he knew what was taking place, and he went to go at that point. He concluded that was true, and he went to take Mary to be his wife. Now, other roles we have of angels include how they relate to humans. Is that Abraham, in the Abrahamic religion that came from Abraham, depict angels as benevolent celestial intermediaries between God and humanity. In other words, angels are the ones who are standing with the message. Just when you speak, the angels take the message to God, and when God speaks, they take the message to them. So how are they empowered? By the Spirit. Jesus tells us that in John 14:16 and 16:14. That it's the Spirit that is going to rest on us to give us information. So the Holy Spirit is giving the message to angels, and they're carrying that message, and the Holy Spirit is allowing them to reveal that to us. And is speaking in a language that we don't normally speak. This is all supernatural. But it happens to everybody that's going to become a believer. You're going to have encounters with angels because God's going to want to communicate with you, and he's going to want to hear the communication you have for him. So we have to take an understanding of what's taking place here. These religions are coming out with that kind of an understanding that that's what angels do because they saw it with Abraham. Now, some angels have specific names or titles. Those expelled from heaven are called fallen angels, distinctly different from the heavenly angels. Those are demonic in origin. They have the ability to influence and to cause darkness on in your life, and they're bringing wrong forces. They have no power, no power whatsoever against the believer. If you're a believer, you don't have to worry about demons. Because you speak the name of Jesus, and they drop like flies. They can't handle it. If you just speak the name of Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's boldness when you say it, too. Just by saying the name Jesus. Learn to speak the name of Jesus often. In any case, those expelled from heaven are these fallen angels. Angels are in art are often usually depicted as strong, masculine, beautiful creatures with shields and breastplates and going in battle. They've got swords in their hands. And when you get that's the kind of picture they are. But what kind of angels do we think about? When we think about angels now, we think of frilly angels that are dressed in curls and have long dresses and are feminine. Who did that to the angels? Do you know there's not one mention of a feminine angel in the Bible? Not mentioned as masculine either, but they are given male names. So angels are not humans. They're angels. So we can't confuse them with humans. And they have purposes. And they come, fulfill that purpose, and then they're done. And you see angels ministering to Jesus. And I want you to know angels come and minister to us. Especially when we get knocked down by the evil one. We see angels usually shaped like humans, but they have extraordinary beauty. Artwork today, like the one you see on the thing, give us pictures of what people have envisioned angels to look like. Where do they get these visions? Maybe they've seen an angel and they wanted to put it down on paper. Maybe it's in a dream they had of an angel. I don't know. But did you hear that Miss USA Rima Fakin, F-A-K-I-N-H, became the first Muslim pageant winner She converted to the Christian faithful Muslim, and she's part of an exciting trend that we see. Now, she was a Lebanese-American model, philanthropist, former professional wrestler, and beauty pageant title holder, who was crowned Miss USA in 2010, having previously been crowned Miss Michigan USA in 2010, Miss Fakin now, Miss Salalbi, because she got married, is the first Arab American woman and the third woman from Michigan to win the Miss American USA title. So I tell you this because recently she converted to Christianity. So she's no longer a Muslim USA pageant winner, but she's one of the Christian pageants. But she's part of an exciting trend of Muslims who are making decisions for Christ. And she's just one that gets highlighted because who she is. But when you think about it, and you look at it, in the last several years, our researchers have known that what happened when Muslims meet Christ, huge numbers of them are becoming followers of Jesus. Now, according to the statistics, Muslims who have switched allegiance from Muhammad to Christ has skyrocketed from zero in 1960 to as many as 16 million Muslim Christians worldwide right now. Zero in 1960 to 16 million Christians right now are Muslims. They've left the Christian faith. Oftentimes, they've been rejected by their own families, their own husbands, wives, parents, children, because they made a decision for Jesus Christ. 16 million worldwide, and that includes roughly 470,000 right here in the United States who are now Christian Muslims. 470,000 of the Muslims in the United States are Christian Muslims. That should open our eyes. These are brothers and sisters. These are not enemies. And when we're around a Muslim, they may be Christians, you don't know. But even if they're not, this is an opportunity for you to shine for Christ in their life and show them. This is almost like the Book of Acts coming alive in our generation. And it's happening all around us. Unfortunately, it's not happening to us in America. We had a revival like that, but we kind of grew beyond it. Why did we grow beyond it? Because we got stale. We got satisfied. We got arrogant. And we got to be careful. I just want to say real quick, that's one of the things that's really bothered me about the COVID-19 restrictions placed on the United States. Couple years ago, you can't go to church, you can't assemble in groups of maybe more than four or five, and you have to stay 6 feet apart, and that separated so many of us from our faith. And it's just now slowly getting to come back, but it paid a toll. And just yesterday I talked to a guy, and his idea is, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. He said, I believe I can stand out here on my own and walk fully in the faith of God. I pondered that conversation, which lasted over an hour last night. Because as I pondered, I thought about it. You know, that's a pretty strong Christian that can do that. As a matter of fact, when I read through the New Testament, I don't see any Christians like that. When he wrote in the book of Revelation, he talked to Christian churches in seven different churches. He didn't talk about the Christian individuals in seven different nations. He talked about people who were connected together to each other, who are the body of Christ. He didn't say, go out there and stand alone. You see, we need each other. That's why he said, when two or more are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst and there to bless you. So don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some, as it says in Scripture. Don't do it. The body of Christ is the body of Christ. And we are to be alive in Him. And when we come together, we become a force for His kingdom. And when we begin to recognize that force, that's when exciting things begin to happen. So, take note. We are the body of Christ. And if we will agree together as to touching anything, like going up and down the streets of a community and touching those lives, God's going to do that for us. You can depend on it. He's going to stand behind us. But we've got to stand together. So I encourage you to come out to go caroling. We're only going to take a short amount of time on Thursday night. Bundle up warm. I don't know how cold it's going to be. But I've already talked to the community over there, to the developers. They know we're coming. They're going to spotlight for us which houses are occupied. And we'll go down through there and sing and share a loaf of bread. Some of you are making loaves of bread. If you can still do that, we need about 20 loaves. And I'm going to make some Christmas cards and invitations to hand out for the kids to give at each of the doors. And so they can come to the Christmas musical and to our Christmas Eve service. And we'll invite them to Sunday morning also. So it's an opportunity for us as the body of Christ to do something together. You can do it individually, but it means something. And when somebody looks out their window and they sees a group of people singing Christmas carols, it warms hearts. It warms hearts, especially if you see children doing it. So, Abraham and his aging wife Sarah entertained three visitors among the oaks of Mamre, who revealed to them they're going to have a son. They entertain an angel. I think that's fascinating. Okay, is anything too hard for the Lord? It says in Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Jacob wrestled by the brook Jacob with an angel in human disguise, and he came away with his hip out of joint. And he walked that way the rest of his life. Samson's father, Manoah, carried on a conversation with a messenger completely unaware that he was talking to an angel until after the messenger had disappeared. In the New Testament, angels accompany critical events in the life of Jesus. They announce his birth. They minister to him after his temptation. They announce his resurrection. They attend to his ascension into heaven. They assist the fledgling church at crucial times, abiding the apostles under persecution, assisting the spread of the gospel to the Gentiles, rescuing Paul and Silas from the Philippian jailer. Now, there are sermons and truths to be learned from every one of these events. So I could go off on a lot of the rabbit trails of the sermons about angels and their encounters with humans in the Old and the New Testament. So what are angels doing in heaven with God? And even right now, angels are active in your life. And they're taking and teaching and guiding you. Sometimes they're leading you to people to minister to them. So I encourage you, sometimes just to take note. You know, we all entertain angels, every one of us. And we entertain angels unaware that we're entertaining angels. And sometimes when you entertain strangers in need, it's God giving you an opportunity to give to Him. And at this time of year, that's especially important for us to reach out and to express God's love to the people around us. Because you never know when you're entertaining an angel unaware. If you think back on your life, if you seriously think back on your life, my guess is you can point out times that are unexplained. Like, why did that happen or why didn't something happen? I want you to know God is guiding your life. He is out in front of you, preparing a way for you to walk. And if you don't walk in it, it's your own fault. But he's going to have his angels taking all the blockades out of the front of you so that you can be a witness for him. Because that's what his challenge is all about. And so when we look at this, we realize that God is a ministering spirit through his angels. He sends his angels all out like an army, a battalion, to fight your battles. Sometimes I think about what power we yield when we pray to our Father. Father, I pray for this individual. I pray that you'll take care of that individual. And suddenly you don't realize he's releasing a legion of angels to minister to that individual on your behalf because you prayed. You surround that person with an atmosphere that they can have healing take place. They can make the right decisions. They can be corrected the right way. If you pray and release that, because you are like one of God's army commanders, you get to give orders. How do you do it? By asking God to fulfill his will in your life to the people around you. And he will do it. And if you just believe in your heart, God will answer those kinds of prayers. He will coordinate circumstances just to catch your eye. Maybe those warm tingles that you feel are the brush of angel wings. Do angels really have wings? Well, in the Bible it talks about the wings of angels, especially on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. And the wings of the angels turn and they touch each other. So yeah, they have angel wings, some of them do. But sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're in total human form and they come and they talk to you, like the three men that showed up at the house of the Lot when he was being tested. So be careful. Be aware. You are entertaining angels if you belong to Jesus. You are. And God is watching. He wants you to be a witness for him. Hebrews 13:2 says, do not neglect hospitality to strangers, for by some I have entertained angels without knowing it. Joseph's life was interrupted. His fiancée was pregnant. What to do? The angel interrupted his life and told him, You are going to be given a chance to be married to the mother of the Christ child. He took it and he believed it. And he lived up to it. I challenge you to take that message of the cross. Take that message of the Christ child born in a manger that God sent to your world, to the people around you. And let them know that God loves them and that you love them too. Right? You do love them, right? Right? Okay, I hope you love them. If you don't, you need to work on that. Okay? Because if the love of God is not in you, if that love's not in you, the love of God is not in you, and then you are barren. It says in 1 John chapter 4. So we need to allow the love of God to motivate us.